And welcome back. St. Louis Public Radio's race, culture, and diversity reporter Emmanuel Berry is leaving us, leaving for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. She has distinguished herself in her 13 months in St. Louis for her coverage of the Ferguson story and for her part in the We Live Here project with Tim Lloyd. As I say, she's moving on. In a recorded interview, I asked her why and where.
I am moving to China, Macau, which is a strategic administrative region west of Hong Kong, about 40, 50 minutes. And I'm going to be doing a Fulbright there. So I'm going to be doing ETA, which is an English teaching assistantship Fulbright, and also hopefully doing some research while I'm there. And it's something I've always wanted to do. So,
how did all of this come about?
let's see. I've always wanted to go to China. Not always. I guess I've wanted to go to China at least for the last 10 years. And in college, that passion or that desire to live in Asia, and particularly China, was strengthened by the fact that I was working on a documentary film project that was looking at the impact of Chinese international students, that influx coming to U.S. universities. My school that I went to, Michigan State University, had a huge increase, at like over 100% in like a year period. So that really changes a campus. So I basically spent about a year talking with Chinese students, getting to know these Chinese students, and developed a lot of really strong friendships through that. And then I became so curious about going over there. And I've always really wanted to, I think, since that project, made that a goal that I was going to live in China at some point in my life. So,
you know, give me some sense of your impression of the Chinese students that you met and became friendly with, because there is, it seems to me, there is a different ethic, a different academic ethic, a different work ethic than many of us might be used to. Did you see that?
I think yes, no. I think part of what, you know, the project that I was working on or trying to explore was a lot of the stereotypes that students will associate with Chinese international students. So that comes with things like they're all rich and they all drive really fancy cars. There's a sense that like they're all very privileged. Lots of different things that aren't necessarily true. But I would say the students who I met were all very bright, and they were all very hard workers. And I think that in part it comes from the type of education system that they're coming from, that is very memory focused, that is very focused on having all of these basic skills. But then the reason why some of them wanted to come to U.S. university in part was because they wanted that creativity aspect within their education, which they feel like is better afforded sometimes in a U.S. university than, say, a Chinese university. But I also met kindred spirits, I think, in these students. And one of my really good friends, who I hope to visit while I'm over in China, we always said, like, there's no reason we should be friends. Like, it doesn't actually make any sense. But I just found so much in common with these students, and just a wonderful exchange, I think, in that process.
Well, this is obviously going to be a terrific opportunity. You say you're going to be doing research. What sort of research do you want to do?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to do a little bit of research about the particular place where I'm going in China. Macau used to be a Portuguese colony. So there's an interesting mix of Portuguese and Chinese culture in this little space. And it's also where they have a huge gambling industry. It's the only place you're allowed to legally gamble in China. So they have like a replica of the Venetian that you would see in Vegas. It's like the exact same thing. So there's this interesting mix of all of these kind of different cultures going on. So I'd really like to do some research exploring what that space looks like, where these cultures intersect. And I'm not sure what form that will take or what I'll actually have, but that's one thing that I'd like to explore a little bit while I'm there, while I have the opportunity.
Well, I hope that your entrance into Macau and the life in Macau is going to be different than your entrance into life in our region.
Fingers crossed. When you
came here immediately after your arrival, the Michael Brown shooting occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And you were right in the middle of that. So you don't want anything like that to happen.
I would prefer for that not to happen. Yeah. I mean, Hong Kong is pretty close. But,
yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about that Ferguson experience. It could be life-shaping for you in a way as a journalist, because you stepped right into the fire, as it were. And tell me your reaction to that, having been exposed to that so early on.
I in some ways, and still just don't even know where to begin. I think it was, I mean, I'm a young journalist. I think it was at times really hard. I think it was at times really exciting. I think at times it was... It was emotionally draining and physically draining, but it was also such a wonderful opportunity to get to cover such an important story. And it was also wonderful in the sense that I think I have met so many wonderful people through this process that I wouldn't have met, whether that's people who are activists, whether that's people who've lived in Ferguson and are longtime residents. I spent a lot of time in that community and talking to all these different people. And I think as a journalist, that I will always carry kind of that with me, getting to really get a sense of this place at that time.
You came to us, as you've indicated, from Michigan. Mm-hmm. Did you have any idea what the social system was like in St. Louis before coming here?
I had some. I mean, it didn't come to my interview not knowing anything. I did some research, but it's completely different actually living here and actually being here. I think, you know, you can read stuff in a book, but actually coming here and seeing it and reporting on it and covering it and getting a sense, it is completely different. I think when I came, I had a lot of ideas about St. Louis and what it would be like here. And I still don't understand it. Some things about St. Louis. I mean, I've been here a year and there's so many things I still don't get and still don't understand, but it's a complex city.
What are some of the things you don't get?
I mean, I think it mainly has to do with the systems and structures that we've been talking about with the We Live Here project. Like every single time we do another podcast, I'm like, what? This exists. This is how things work. And it's not necessarily, they're not always specific to St. Louis, but it's a part. It might be something that's also on a national scale, but it's a part of what feeds into the larger systems that really keep people separated here.
Have you seen any in the year, it's been almost a year now exactly since the Michael Brown shooting, have you seen any positive change as a result of that?
I think there's definitely been some positive change. And I think whether that's in the sense of a lot of people woke up and saw what was going on in their community. And it's not like they didn't care about their community before, but now there's a more active engagement in their community. And I would say anything that gets... I can't see how that's not positive, to have people more actively engaged in their space. But at the same time, I think for some people, it's caused more polarization. I think in some ways, it's driven some people further apart. So there's been both, you know, this positive aspect of people wanting to change, people wanting to help. But at the same time, it's also caused some people to really like dig themselves down into the trenches with their opinions. So it's been a little bit of both.
St. Louis has always been slow to change. Do you get the sense that the speed with which change has come, what change has come, has been slow?
I don't think so. I mean, change takes time. And especially we're talking about change, trying to change systems that have been in place for hundreds and hundreds of years, issues that have persisted for hundreds and hundreds of years. And to think, you know, that things would change in a year is just, it's not possible in some ways. But I don't think, I think that things are moving. I think that there's still momentum. I don't think it's particularly slow.
One of the things that we've heard in terms of criticism of general coverage of Ferguson following the Michael Brown shooting was, and I think this is a particularly true of television. They come in and, as we all know, they like the fires and they like the energy that they see on the streets. But there wasn't a lot of coverage in context why this happened. I mean, this was nothing new. The conditions in Ferguson were not new. Mm-hmm. And yet it seemed to catch everybody by surprise. Did you sense that?
Yes. And I think it was interesting because when I first came here, I had a couple weeks before it was thrown in. And one of the things that I noticed or one of the things that I remember is starting to see some of these issues, starting to see all of these different the divides and fault lines in this community, and then seeing them actually erupt. And it's like, well, why weren't we more consistently talking about this and covering this before? And in a way, it's unfortunate that like something like that had to happen in order for that to be a consistent thing that media is talking about, that media is covering. But at the same time, I think that, you know, our station and other local media outlets have been talking about these things, but maybe not as in such a direct way, in such a persistent way. But I think like those undertones have been present in other people's reportings, but this is just bringing it more to the forefront in some ways.
I think that the We Live Here series is really an attempt to counter that, to really give some context before anything hopefully nothing like this is going to happen again, but before any kind of incident in the future.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we went in with the idea. We're like, okay, so why did this happen? And how did this happen? And how did we get to this point? And what are the structures that are in place that shape this situation? And I mean, that's at the crux of We Live Here and what we're trying to do with that project. And there's so many stories to tell. That's one of the things I'm probably will regret the most about leaving is, you know, there's so much more to do with that project. And it's been really great to work on it as long as I have been able to while I've been here.
What's going to happen to We Live Here when Emmanuel is gone?
It will survive. No, We Live Here. Tim will still be working on it, as well as Shula Newman, our editor, and they're hiring someone else to come in and work on that project as well. So it's going to continue. I'm not sure if there will be a short break or not, but I think they're going to try and keep it going forward at the every 2 week pace that it has been.
You mentioned early on that you've spent a lot of time in the Ferguson area, and you spent the last year here watching it and its fallout. One of the things that has impressed me has been the role of young people in all of this. I'm guessing it impressed you as well. Am I right?
Yeah, very much so. I guess as like a young person myself, I'm young.
How old are you?
I just turned 25.
Oh, wow. And 25, you got it all ahead of you. All ahead of you.
No, I think it was really amazing to see young people stand up and demand a space at the table and demand a voice. And also young people stand up and take action, whether that was in protesting or whether that was starting their own community projects and just being vocal and more engaged. Because I think that's people will say all the time, you know, young people, they don't care. They're not engaged. They're off in their own world. Like their votes don't matter. Like we hear kind of this rhetoric and language all the time. And that was such an important part of the story and such an important part of everything moving forward in general.
I wonder what the influence of Ferguson is going to be on other cities. I think perhaps we've already seen that to some degree in Baltimore, the speed with which they reacted in Baltimore to the incident there and really put the lid on. I kind of had the feeling that was a result of Ferguson.
I think you could see Ferguson in a lot of different cities and a lot of different spaces. And I think more and more people are realizing that, you know, Ferguson is not as far away as they think. In particular with Baltimore, the response, you know, very much echoed what was happening in Ferguson. But in all of these other cities that are having these incidents with either police misconduct or they're demanding police accountability, I think it doesn't all stem from Ferguson. But in a way, you know, Ferguson was when people were like, had enough. I've had enough of this. And I think people are saying that in more cities now and more frequently in a way because of what happened in Ferguson.
I hear a lot of people wondering why our legislature here in Missouri didn't move a little more definitively following Ferguson.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are asking that question. But I think people are still working and people are still lobbying to make change. And I think, you know, if you look nationally at what's being done legislative in other states as well as on a national level, I think there's still presence and talk that there are these rippling effects of what happened in Ferguson making its way into formal law.
Are you feeling optimistic about the Ferguson Commission and recommendations it might make or that President Obama's organization and involving a lot of local people, by the way, and police issues will affect change?
I hope it does. It's one of those situations where, again, you know, it's not necessarily a body that has power, but I feel like the people on that commission are people who are influential, are people who are going to push for change. And I think also just having all of those things laid out, having someone give like a guideline and a map to say, this is what needs to change and this is how we need to do it. I think there has to be some sort of impact in some way. How big the impact is, I don't know.
Well, and it probably will require legislative action to implement any of the things that are brought, and that that may be questionable at times. Okay, so you're off to Macau. What do you bring from your experience here? Will you bring from your experience here to Macau?
Oh, that's a tough one because it's going to be a very different world. I think maybe the, you know, being thrown into something completely different, being having to adapt and make sense of that space, I think that's going to come in handy when I'm in a country where I don't speak Cantonese and I'm in a more chaotic space. I think that adaptability that I had to adjust so quickly here is going to come in handy abroad. And I think also just as a journalist, I've learned a lot here as a journalist about asking questions about where your sense of curiosity should come from and different ways to be curious. And I think that's going to make my whole entire experience abroad that much more enriching with that sense of curiosity.
And what do you hope to bring back?
So far away. I hope to bring back a broader perspective. I hope to bring back or create new friendships and just a different sense of the world. I mean, part of the reason I want to go over there is because I remember traveling right after high school. I went to Europe. I like saved up like all through high school. I was like, I'm going to go to Europe. That was like my goal. It wasn't, and I had to pay for it myself. I didn't come from like a space, and like that was like the thing. And I worked really hard for that trip. And I remember going, and it was great, but at the same time, it was a little disappointing because there wasn't any confrontation to things that I took as being normal. There wasn't any questioning of my ideas. So I really hope that, you know, going to Asia, going to a place I think that has a little bit of a different space where people are coming from is going to force me to question things more often. And I think that's extremely important for the development of me as a person.
You'll be there for a year, is that correct?
Just under a year, but right. Yeah, almost a year.
Final question. Where do you want to be 5 years from now? not physically, but in terms of your profession.
That's probably easier to answer. No, I don't know. Sometimes I think I really want to continue in journalism, and sometimes I don't. I want to be doing work somewhere that has an impact on people. I'm not sure what that looks like at this point in time, but I want to be doing impactful work that has a direct effect on the way people live.
Well, you're going to be missed here. You're a very talented young lady, and journalism will be happy to have you and accommodate you if you choose to stay with it, but we wish you the very best. It's been a pleasure having you here for this year. As I say, you've done an outstanding job.
Thank you.
Reporter Emmanuel Berry, who leaves us tomorrow for Macau, China, where she'll spend almost a year on a Fulbright teaching fellowship. Again, we wish her well. That's it for us today. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at a 10-year partnership between the Anti-Defamation League, the Holocaust Museum of St. Louis, and Philadelphia Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey to provide anti-bias training for police. We'll also hear the latest We Live Here podcast focusing on caring for health in the face of toxic stress. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.